We're looking at a book, Inequality Matters, The Growing Economic Divide in America and Its Poisonous Consequences. By the way, my name is Dan Toomey. I'm here with Dave.
Raven David Tierney, the mouth of the Merrimack.
And we're going to be interviewing a man named Jim Lardner. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Welcome aboard.
So we're talking to Jim. He's in New York. We're in Lowell, Massachusetts, by the way, Jim. You've edited a book. I guess you have one article in there, too, right?
Yes, it's a collection of kind of connected essays by, among other people, Bill Moyers, Barbara Ehrenreich, Jim Wallis, Miles Rappaport, 24 different people, journalists, scholars, political activists, who have attempted to look at nearly three decades of steadily rising economic inequality in America, at why it's happened, at how it's affecting us, at what we can do about it.
Yeah, and where would people get this book, by the way? We're going to be talking about it, but I think it's really interesting. I find it fascinating.
It is widely available in bookstores. Inequality Matters. It's also available in all the online bookstores, so it's no problem getting it.
Cool. It has a foreword by Bill Moyers, and Bill Moyers, used to honcho the show, one of the shows that I like best on TV, which is called Now. It's on Friday nights, and it deals with the kind of issues that we talk about here on Thinking Out Loud. That's the name of our show, and that you talk about in this book. So could you elaborate a little bit more on you know, the inequality in America and what these writers are talking about?
Yes. Americans used to think that time would narrow our economic differences, and we had reason to think so. For two centuries, our country was moving away from a world that made some people the masters of others and that decided people's fates when they were still in the womb, toward a world where everyone would get a fair shake, regardless of origins or ancestry. I think the feeling of that journey was very strong in the post-war era, when, in fact, the gap between rich and poor narrowed. The civil rights movement opened doors for African Americans and others. Millions of Americans climbed out of poverty into a middle class that was really the envy of the world. But then something happened. From the late 1970s to the present, our economy has been sending most of its rewards to those who already had the most. And unlike Bill Moyers and Now and your show, a great deal of the media has paid very little attention to this. Other stories have always seemed more important. So we're kind of waking up now, after 30 years of this trend, to the multidimensional consequences, and they are really wide and deep. We are now the most unequal country in both wealth and income terms of all the countries of the so-called developed world. Wealth is even more concentrated than income in America. And in some ways, the statistics, which usually use dollars to measure these things, understate what has happened, because as these dollar differences have grown, so has the realm of life that is ruled by the dollar. Most of the rich countries in the world have made health care a universal right, whereas in the United States, the only group growing faster than millionaires, it seems, is the uninsured. And higher education costs have also soared, partly because we no longer make the kind of effort we started to make 30, 40 years ago to close the class divide in higher education. People are increasingly expected to pay the cost of college, pay the cost of health care out of their own pockets. And that it isn't just the poor who are affected by this trend. For middle class as well as poor Americans, growing inequality has meant an increasingly stressful life. Many middle class Americans have borrowed heavily, have work long hours, and are sort of one health emergency or job crisis away from plunging into poverty.
You know what, David and I are of the age, we've seen both of these trends happen. You know, I grew up during the Second World War, and I remember my friends, you know, living in, you know, kind of sparse environments, you know, low-income people. And I saw all of that change as a result of the things that you talked about. I mean, there was the American dream where, you know, recent immigrants and their kids were able to live the middle-class lifestyle. And that had to do with a lot of things, including unionization and a whole attitude, you know, the New Deal. And you know, how that played out. But then, you know, at the end of the 70s, and I saw it happening, I've seen the trend in the opposite direction. And it's become so obvious now, I mean, it's statistically obvious, yet, you know, the bulk of the American public hasn't accepted it yet, I don't think. And it concerns us, and we talk about it all the time.
You know what happened is in the post-World War II patriotism, the American dream was in the grasp of everyone. And ever since World War II and that dream, we've sort of been capitalizing or parlaying on that patriotism all along to a point where now it's down to nothing. I think another interesting thing that's going on is we see the disappearance of the middle class in this country.
Yeah, that's right. Patriotism used to mean that everybody had a middle-class lifestyle. And now it means just a little metallic flag on your lapel as you send American jobs overseas. At least that's the way we see it. So anyway, we're talking to Jim here. Jim Lardner is the editor of a book that recently came out. It's called Inequality Matters. It's a really easy book to read because of the fact that it's a series of essays. So, you know, each night you could read one or two essays. That's the way I did it. And you'll find out an awful lot. David.
There is a quote, if you don't mind my reading, from Bill Moyers in the front of the book, and I just may read this to you, please. The unmitigated plunder of the public trust has spread a spectacle of corruption across America. For its equivalent, one has to go back to the first Gilded Age, when the powerful and the privileged controlled politics, votes were bought and sold, legislatures corrupted, and laws flagrantly disregarded, threatening the very foundations of democracy. It was a time, and now is another, when the great captains of industry and finance could say, with Frederick Townsend Martin, "We are rich. We own America. We got it. God knows how, but we intend to keep it." And they will, unless reading this book, you get mad. Mad enough to get organized.
Yeah. By the way, Jim, you have a really interesting family background. And so why don't we talk a little bit about that? Your grandfather was a great, well-known sports writer. And your father was one of the Hollywood 10 during the McCarthy era, was blacklisted. You want to talk about that?
Sure. My dad was one of 10 writers and directors who were called before the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1947. This was, you know, just after the war. There had been a little of this kind of hunting communists before World War II, and there was quite a lot of it right after the war. And he was one of a group who pleaded the First Amendment and said it was none of the government's business to ask them about their political affiliations. They said it because they realized that if they didn't do something like that, they would have to name other people who had belonged to the Communist Party in America with them. Some of them went to prison, like my father, for 9 months. And most all of them were unable to work in the movie industry, at least under their own names, for quite a number of years. If you don't mind, I'd sort of like to talk about another family that I'm a part of, which is the organization that commissioned this book, which is Demos, which is a think and action tank in New York City. And I want to explain that we conceived this book not only as a credible account of what has happened over 30 years of growing inequality in America, but also as a tool in trying to spread the word, to create a national awakening about what we see as a kind of unacknowledged national tragedy. And so we are doing our best to organize meetings and actions and workshops and around the country,
Jim, that's terrific. When are you coming to Lowell with this program? We want you here.
I'm happy to come to Lowell.
Great. Keep going. Great.
And if anybody wants to have some kind of a meeting or a neighborhood salon or whatever way they think of to call attention to 3 decades of growing inequality and its consequences, some ideas and some sources of help can be found at either demos.org, D-E-M-O-S, or inequality.org, 2 websites we've set up. The second is a website we've set up expressly in conjunction with the book.
Yeah, I had heard of Demos before, and I really never looked any further than hearing about it. It's interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more about it. And, you know, how big an organization is it? And do you go around the nation to various other locations to spread the word?
Well, Demos is an organization of, I think, 35 employees, so it's not huge.
That's pretty huge.
Was started in 1999 by people who wanted to establish a counterforce to the right-wing think tanks, the right-wing propaganda machine. It's not the only organization that has been started with that motivation, and in fact, we do our best to work with grassroots organizations all over the country. We believe that a research organization is not of any value if it's just generating research. It has to be getting that research out into action, and so we have all kinds of partnerships. And there are two issues that motivate Demos more than anything else. One is economic opportunity and economic justice and inequality, and the other is the erosion of our democracy. We've reached a point in which the campaign contribution has replaced the vote as the essential transaction of
Absolutely.
Our democracy.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we have a department here, a master's program. WUML comes to you from the University of Massachusetts, Lowell. And we have a relatively new master's program called the Regional Economics and Social Development Department. And it's kind of a hybrid, a combination of economic and community psychology and sociology and all those different kind of disciplines. And they often bring in speakers to speak to not only the people here at the university, but the community as well. We do a lot of that kind of outreach here as well. But it's good to see that you folks are doing it. And so maybe talk a little bit more about the book.
Sure.
We're talking to Jim Lardner. He's the editor and one of the writers in a recently released book called Inequality Matters. And I guess Demos is the publisher, right?
Demos and the New Press published it in partnership.
And so tell us a little bit more about some of the articles in there.
Absolutely, with pleasure. Our objective, first of all, was to look at all the areas of life that have been changed by growing economic inequality, because some of the changes are obvious and some are by no means obvious. We looked, for example, at higher education, at health. You see people faced with a really no-win situation. One, you either let a serious illness go untreated, or you get into debt. You work horrendously long hours, as many people do, and that brings on heightened stress. There's a whole body of research which shows the physical damage that stress can do. It can weaken the arteries and the immune system. It's possible that heightened stress is one of the reasons why, despite having almost the highest per capita income of any country in the world and spending more by far than any other people do on health care, the United States doesn't even rank in the top 20 nations when it comes to life expectancy. We have a health care system that is full of inequity, that spends immense resources on the needs of a well-heeled few. But we're also beginning to understand that health is affected by socioeconomic forces directly. And so we have not only inequities in care, but inequities in health and inequities in disease rates that are very severe. You will find if a British epidemiologist named Michael Marmot has calculated that if you take the Washington subway line from inner city Washington into suburban Maryland, you pass through communities that mark a 15-year gap in average life expectancy from poor blacks in the inner city to affluent whites in the suburbs.
So I'm going to read some of the articles that are in your book. I'm going to read the titles of them. One is called Earth to Walmars, and that is by Barbara Ehrenreich. Miles Rappaport, who I was in a political coalition with at one time, wrote an article called Democracy First, and he did that in conjunction with a guy named David Smith. Let's see, William Greta, who used to write for Rolling Stones?
He writes for The Nation today, has been The Nation's Washington correspondent for a number of years now.
And his article is called Building a Moral Economy. Mm. Robert Kuttner, Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. What's that about? You know offhand, Jim?
Yes, he's talking about the fact that this is not the policies that have fed our growing inequality are not policies of one party alone. There's this kind of Washington consensus among Democrats as well as Republicans that has turned against regulation, has turned against government, that espouses lower taxes or claims to lower taxes, but really has been engaged in a kind of massive tax shift away from corporations and the wealthy and onto the backs of middle-class Americans. The payroll tax, which affects many poor Americans, is, you know, one tax that nobody has been cutting. So that's what he's writing about. He's writing to Democrats, to progressives, saying not to drink the Kool-Aid of this new ideology. And I should say that how you feel about growing inequality in America depends enormously on what you think it's caused by. So the new ideology says, oh, well, if it's happening at all, it's happening because of deep, impersonal, irresistible forces, globalization, technology, trade. They don't exactly explain why these forces should have produced so much inequality in the United States and not in all other countries. But in any case, I think they benefit from a widespread belief among Americans that economics is kind of mysterious and that we're all in the grip of this powerful, inexplicable thing called the free market. Well, markets are not free. Functioning markets are not free. They depend on rules, on institutions, on regulations, on customs, on unspoken agreements, and there has been a tremendous rewriting of this body of economic rules over the last 30 years. The change in tax rates, the tax shift, is only the most obvious part of it. There are legislative and judicial giveaways of common assets. There's a tremendous expansion of intellectual property rights. There are changes in corporate governance. There's the privatization of various government functions, which allows, which saps the power of unions. And there has been a more kind of overall and dramatic, commitment on the part of the federal government against unions in America. So it's really all these forces that are at work. And if you believe that this is not a natural, irresistible kind of thing, but that's caused by impersonal forces, but rather is something brought about by humans acting, powerful humans, then you believe that it's something you can change.
Yeah, and then you also blame it on your neighbor rather than the people that are really causing this.
By the way, folks, you're listening to Thinking Out Loud on WUML in Lowell. This is Raving David Tierney. We have on the line James Lardner, who's written a book called Inequality Matters. He's the grandson of Rig Lardner, if you remember Rig Lardner from your high school days. Dan and I do, and Dan's been interviewing James here now from New York. Thanks very much for being on. Let's continue.
So just a little bit more about your book, James. We've got a couple of minutes left. The name of the book is Inequality Matters, and Again, tell us how somebody can get a hold of this.
Oh, all the places that you can get hold of any other book, I hope.
Amazon, and, Barnes
and
& Noble.
If you have, yes, if you have any trouble at your, as they say, brick-and-mortar bookstore, try online at Amazon or palsbooks.com or any other online book service. We produced this book. All the collaborators in the book were kind of united by a desire to sort of sound an alarm against this, as we see it, unacknowledged national tragedy, to kind of blow the whistle and spread the word. And we hope that people will not only read the book, but be inspired to take some kind of action to alert their neighbors, their communities, not only to the fact of enormously growing economic inequality in America, but to its far-reaching consequences, and as I said earlier, to the essential point that this is not some kind of mysterious, deep change that is beyond our power to influence. It is something brought about by new practices, new rules, new institutions, by a whole set of economic policy actions that have been achieved in the last 30 years.
That's correct. These things that we see happening that we sometimes feel powerless about, as Jim indicates, have been going on for a while. So it's been caused by contrivance. Now that we see that's what's happening, we need to stop it. And that's what James's book is all about. Inequality matters. Thank you very much for coming on.
WUML Lowell.
WUML Lowell.
WUML Lowell.